Lecture 23, Fin de Siècle Culture, Decadence and Iconoclasm.
It's become more and more common to speak of the last years of old Russia, the years before World War I, as a Russian fin de siècle, using this French word for the end of the age. And indeed, deliberately using the French, the European term, to suggest that there's something in common with what's going on throughout Europe in these years. And yet, as you'll see, there's something, many would argue, distinct about the Russian fin de siècle, distinct in its intensity, and of course, distinct in the end that would result. And of course, we know what that end was, the result of these final years of the old order, that the old society and the old state and in many ways the old culture would come crashing down in the midst of war and revolution, making the other revolutions that took place in Europe as a result or afterworld or during and after World War I, revolutions such as in Germany, seem really quite modest and tame by comparison. It's also worth saying that for many Russians, these years of the fin de siècle, before the war and the revolution, felt like a turning point. Even they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. Or worse, to many Russians at the time, it felt like a time of terrible crisis, of terrible decline, of approaching catastrophe. Some of the most salient signs of this, cultural signs of this crisis, and especially of this mood of crisis, are the subject of this lecture. Though, as I think you'll see, rather typically, these signs of crisis, of fin de siècle, can also be seen as other signs of Russia's intense cultural vitality, of creative possibility, of imagination about a new world. And indeed, we're seen in just this contradictory way by Russians. Now, in fact, this uncertainty about how to interpret these last years of the old regime are very important. Scholars have argued for a long time and still argue about where Russia was heading between, say, 1905, the wake of that first revolution and the reforms that followed it, and 1914, when the war came. We know, of course, where it ended up, but outcomes are not always the best evidence of all the complex dynamics, the complex possibilities that exist in a society at any given time. And in particular, therefore, historians often argue about what might have happened in Russia when looking at all of its complex dynamics. What might have happened had Russia not gone through the experience of World War I, the devastating experience of World War I? Optimists in this argument tend to argue that collapse and revolution were by no means inevitable. They emphasize all the major reforms of these years that we have seen, civil rights, the Duma, limited but still in many ways a major progressive change in Russian life. They talk about the legalization of trade unions, the proliferation of civic organizations and their legality, the freer and vital press, the intensely developing economic life, rise of industry, rise of cities, and they blame the war for overstraining what was still a weak but improving system. By contrast, people who are often called by historians the pessimists tend to see, in looking at this society, increasing political and social tensions even before the war. They note, of course, and we've talked about them as well, the inadequacies of reform, the very limited power of the Duma, its inability in particular to appoint or even control the actions of the ministers, of the government itself, or even the bureaucracy. They note the continued presence of a police state, of police supervision amidst this increasingly vital public sphere. They note, of course, and we have seen it, enormous social discontent. Peasants' desire for lands, workers' discontent with industrialization, and desire for often radical change and all the problems of urban life. Thus, they conclude that some sort of crisis was going to happen, whether or not the war took place. The war may have affected its intensity, its timing, but a crisis was coming. Now, as you may already have noticed in the way I've described all of these various trends, I hesitate to embrace either one of these interpretations, either the pessimist or the optimist interpretation. For me, the most salient characteristic of these final years of old Russia is not progress, not crisis, but the existence, indeed the coexistence and interconnectedness of both. In other words, the contradictoriness of the times, of these times, the multiple possibilities. We've seen this in rural life.